Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we aren't quite back in our studio inside Renaissance Bank, but we're looking forward to being there someday soon. In the meantime, if you need a more personal experience with your bank, if you're tired of 1-800 numbers and computer-generated voices and just maybe not getting the personal attention you'd like to have for your business, give Renaissance a try. They're big enough to offer the services a growing business needs, small enough to be personal in the way they do business. So go to renaissancebank.com, find your local office, about 200 of them across the South, ready to serve you, and give them a call. And when that live person picks up the phone and answers, you'll be able to make an appointment and go by and see them, and I encourage you to give them a try. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Dawn Kirk. And Dawn, her business is Best You for Life, but she's also an author, and we're going to talk about her book called Heartbeat Leadership. Dawn, welcome.
Thank you, John. I'm very excited to be with you this morning.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So let's set all this up, and maybe you can introduce yourself and how you serve folks through your company.
I'm sure. Again, my name is Dawn Kirk. I'm the owner of Best You for Life. I work with solopreneurs and business owners to help them grow and scale their businesses profitably. I'm also a speaker and a best-selling author. So I've just released my newest book, Heartbeat Leadership, over the last week. And it's really focused on helping leaders increase their influence and impact by doing a heart checkup, using the analogy on the heart and how important the heart is to the body, people are to the business.
And you've got quite an extensive background with some pretty large companies. Why don't you share that with folks?
Absolutely. So I spent 26 years, if you can believe that, in corporate America for two Fortune 100 companies, Frito-Lay for 18 and a half years, and the Coca-Cola company for just over 8 years, and served in numerous capacities from sales to finance to marketing, and was a senior executive at both organizations, led teams as large as 5,000 associates, and had P&L responsibility of just of north of $3 billion in revenue. So a lot of different leadership roles. And then in addition to that, lots of leadership roles in nonprofits, my church organizations, and other professional organizations as well.
That's great work, Dawn. Now, let's get to your book, though. Heartbeat Leadership, again, is the name of the book. And just share the general message that you want to folks to walk away with when they read your book.
Yeah, so thank you, John. The number one message I want people to walk away when they read this book is just to remember that at the end of the day, leadership is not about the position that you hold. It's not about the number of people that you lead. It's really about the essence and the value that you place on people overall, and that your number one job is to value and respect people. And when you do that, all of the results that you're trying to drive, whether that's through your corporation, whether that's through your professional organization, it could be even in your home, will enable you to increase your influence with those constituents.
Now, talk about your inspiration here. I mean, all business leaders and certainly authors have, you know, something that's happened along the way or incidents that have happened along the way that inspire them in this direction. Talk about your inspiration toward people first leadership.
So yes, my inspiration towards people first leadership was really born very early in my career when I first entered corporate America right out of college. So if you can imagine, I was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to conquer the world. And unfortunately, you know, kind of was faced with a situation where, you know, my voice was just kind of not valued or not heard. And was the first time I really realized that, wow, you know, there are different cultures, there are different leaders. And my first experience, I remember very vividly walking into one of my first business meetings and, you know, expecting to be welcomed and people come and introduce themselves. And it was almost as if I didn't walk into the room. I remember then sitting down at the table thinking, hey, I'm ready to contribute, add value, to share, you know, my ideas and thoughts, only to, you know, be treated as if I was whispering, like my voice wasn't in the room, and then have colleagues say some of the same things, and those were acknowledged and rewarded and acknowledged. And I remember feeling very disengaged. I remember feeling, you know, at moments angry and just a little, you know, disturbed about, wow, is this how, you know, corporate America really works? Is this was my first, you know, corporate experience. And I remember walking out of that room saying, you know what, I've got two choices. I can respond and take this and go in a positive direction, or I can react and not respond so well. And I decided that I wanted to take the positive route and really went on my quest to learn more about what it meant to be a leader. And two, how did I make sure when I became a leader of larger teams that I did not create an environment that made anyone feel the way that I did? And I went on this huge personal self-discovery about what it really meant to be a leader. And, you know, fast forward now, 26 years later, I want to continue to teach people how to do that and to make sure we have the right picture of what leadership means and the responsibility that we have when we hold these leader titles.
Don, what you're describing is part of that is maybe an older generation that looked down on you as a younger employee is what I'm hearing. And there's nothing that's changed over the years in that, right? I mean, because today, fast forward to today, we're talking about, okay, how does the world get along with millennials and Gen Xers and that kind of thing? And it sounds like what you don't explicitly say this here in the notes around the book, but it sounds like the book really gets at some of those issues as well, right?
It does. And, you know, the essence of the book, and my subtitle is Empower Yourself, and these are deliberately in order, engage your team, and then impact your organization. Because I believe, I'm a huge John Maxwell fan, and he always says that the highest form of leadership is self-leadership. So I believe you've got to lead yourself well first before you can impact others. So it's, again, really understanding who you are, understanding what you value and how you are going to show up in the workplace, in your home, wherever you're trying to influence. And then you'll know and understand how to engage people around you. So that's why I kind of wrote it in the kind of this three-part section. So whether you're an individual contributor and not leading a team, there is still a lot of value for you to lead yourself well.
Now, one of the things that you talk about, or I guess better said, six of the things you talk about, the six pulses of heartbeat leadership that you talk about in the book. Why don't you outline those?
So the six P's are as follows. The first one is priorities, which is about the purpose of leadership. The second one is around preparation, which I call the energy of leadership. The third P is people, the power of leadership. The fourth one is processes, the drivers of leadership. The fourth one is performance, the metrics of leadership. And the last one is called promotion, the growth of leadership. And I discovered or created this framework from an answer that I was, or a question I was often asked, which was, how did you manage throughout your 26-year corporate career to keep this great focus on people and deliver results? And oftentimes when I talk to leaders, they think it's an or. You know, if I focus hard on people, you know, doesn't that come at the expense of my results? And if I'm solely focused on results, doesn't that come at the cost of really being able to focus on developing people? And I would tell you my answer to that is you need to do both. And I was able to do both. And I wanted to provide a framework that people could use to learn how to do that, because I truly believe most leaders want to do both. Focus on their people and deliver results. And I feel this framework helps you do that.
Good words here from Don Kirk. And Don's company is Best You for Life. And she's also the author of Heartbeat Leadership. Don, so let's talk about maybe some of the barriers that you see for someone reading the book. They've got great intentions, but putting it all into practice.
Yeah, so I see two that they're working under. Maybe the culture they're working in does not support or foster this people-first approach the way that that leader wants to leverage people. And then number two, I think, is just a function of time. Let's face it, there are a lot of competing priorities coming at us every second of the day. And I think what really separates what I call a good leader from a great leader is how they choose to spend their time and how they continue to sort through and filter the priorities at hand. So I think those are the two biggest barriers that leaders face.
Obviously, we've been in a COVID-19 world here that has turned everything upside down. Yes. And certainly, you know, the how you lead piece of folks' everyday world has changed as well. So talk about how your approach, your heartbeat leadership approach, fits into the world we're living in today.
Yeah, so great question. So I obviously started writing this book before we knew anything about the word COVID. Mm-hmm. And I finished it up in the midst of COVID. In fact, I had delayed it because of COVID, thinking, oh my goodness, I can't launch a book in the middle of COVID because I can't do the traditional book launch. But soon realized that, you know what, I thought this message was even more important in the midst of COVID than prior to COVID. And the reason I say that is the principles still apply. And I would argue the principles are even more imperative than they were prior to COVID, because you no longer can see people every single day if you're in an office setting. And if you don't have these things in place, I think you're going to quickly find yourself with disengaged employees, a slowdown of productivity and results. And let's face it, we have to work differently in order to keep our teams engaged, to keep them focused on the right things, because there's a lot of things going on in people's lives right now. If they're working from home, not only are they trying to stay focused on productivity and the results, but they might be still trying to teach small kids at home who are doing digital learning, for example. Mm-hmm. They might now have a spouse at home. You're competing for, you know, internet bandwidth all day long. So there's just a lot of dynamics. So the leader that can tap into the humanity side of what's really going on, that people first lens, and manage to keep the right priorities in front of their employees from a results perspective, will still come through COVID at least at parity to where they were coming into play, and still be able to keep their teams engaged and keep them focused on the right things. But it's more imperative now than ever before.
Now, Don, you've got, as you mentioned earlier, quite a few years of corporate experience. And I'd love it if you could share a story about maybe how your approach, maybe you didn't call it heartbeat leadership at the time, but you were living it out, right? Right. You know, how that approach really helped you maybe in a certain circumstance along the way.
It did. I've got a couple, but one that really stands out was in an experience that I had when I just transitioned from Frito-Lay to Coca-Cola. At the time, the Coca-Cola company was doing a major reorganization. They were purchasing the largest bottler in North America, which was Coca-Cola Enterprises. And I was just joining the company at the time and was the Chicago Market Unit Vice President. And I was named and appointed into this position right after the previous leader was unfortunately killed in a tragic train accident. Mm. So as a brand new leader, I was faced with, number one, being an external hire to the organization. I was female and African-American, and typically people were promoted to this position from within the organization, not externally. You add the dynamic of a major, major reorganization going on at that time. And you add the fact that there was a beloved leader that was just tragically killed. And I'm coming in behind all of this to be the new leader of this marketplace. So as you can imagine, you know, a lot of anxiety about the change. And day one of my job assignment, if you can imagine this, was making phone calls to employees to notify them as to whether or not they were going to have a role in the new organization. So I had not met them. They really don't know who I am. Talk wow. about the worst draw of cards you could have been dealt.
Wow.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I had to be authentic. I had to be very transparent about, hey, this is not the way I'd like to meet you. You know, I would have liked to have met you in person. I had to make a phone call. I couldn't even do that. So I had to quickly evaluate what was most important. And so when we talk about those six P's and you talk about priorities, right, the priority for me was to be as empathetic and transparent about this message as I possibly could, understanding that I was going to be disappointing some folks. And once we got through that, the next job assignment was to recreate and rebuild this team from scratch and imagine that I know no one. So I have to take my cues from colleagues who are saying, hey, I think this person will be best on your team, and going into a room with flip charts and names on the flip charts and having to rebuild a team. So I had to go through each one of these steps very intentionally and very deliberately in order to navigate such, sensitive waters during this time, both from a personal leadership perspective, as well as company transformation. And we made it through that situation very well. And it's one of the things that really shaped my leadership, because it was challenged like never before. And as I reflected, as I said earlier, this was the example I kind of walked through and said, how did I do it in a way that was able to really engage people, empower it myself? And we did indeed impact the organization from a results perspective over those 2.5 years.
One of the things you said in there that I think is hopefully gives grace to people as they think about their own leadership is you knew you weren't going to make everyone happy.
Right.
Unpack that a little more, because I think sometimes folks put a lot of pressure on themselves about their leadership styles and results and think part of that means making everybody happy. And that's not what you said.
No, leadership is one of those positions that you have to, take credit for all the great things that happen. And you also have to own the things that are challenging, not comfortable. But what really guided me through that process is just being honest and being transparent and not sugarcoating it. It is what it is. And just being honest in that way. And I think it goes with that word preparation. So that's one of my other P's, is that I didn't just pick up the phone and start calling people. I really took the time and stepped back and said, who am I calling? What individual am I calling? What's their background and history in the organization? And how do I position and word this? What words do I use? Just preparing the conversation. I did not wing it. And was genuine and honest through that conversation. And at the end of the day, what I noticed in every one of those conversations, as difficult as some of those were, and they heard things they didn't want to hear, they ultimately respected it. They ultimately were able to accept it. And many of them thanked me, even though we didn't know each other, we hadn't established a relationship, but just appreciated getting all the information that I could possibly give them so that they could make their next decisions and determine their options. And that's what leaders have to do. And I showed empathy throughout the process, and I was able to answer questions as they asked them back to me.
Folks, the book is called Heartbeat Leadership, and it is by Don Kirk, who is with us today. And Don, this has been great. But before we let you go, and as we wrap up here, I'd love it if you could share the kind of individuals, teams, companies that you work with, because some folks listening to this might be interested in the book, but they might really be interested in picking up the phone and giving you a call about some of the leadership issues they have and want to work with you personally.
Yeah, so obviously my 26 years experience is in a lot of the consumer packaged good industry, so I obviously work with consumer packaged good industries. But to be honest, I like to work with organizations that are very interested in making sure their people are the competitive advantage and taking things to the next level. It does not matter what the problem is, however complex it might be. I want to work with organizations that want to say, let me take a look at people first. And how do I make sure I have the teams all aligned? How do I make sure I've tapped and engaged them properly? How do I make sure I've trained and prepared them properly? I want to help organizations make people their competitive advantage.
Don, this has been great. What I would love it as we wrap up here, if you could give contact information for those that would like more information about you, connect with you, and would like to get a copy of the book.
Absolutely. So I'm going to make it easy. A one contact place to do it all. And that would be to visit my website at heartbeatleadershipbook.com. There you can download a free chapter of the book if you like. You can order the book, paperback, hardback, ebook, and soon to be audiobook. And thirdly, you can go down to the bottom and fill out a contact form if you'd like to have a complimentary consultation on your specific leadership challenge that we can discuss further.
Don Cook, she's the owner of Best You for Life and also the author of Heartbeat Leadership. Don, this has been great. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, John, for your time.
Thank you. Folks, just a quick reminder, if you've got some problems that involve administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, you've got some issues that you really need to get off your plate and get on to maybe a professional that's really their expertise. I've got an answer for you that involves picking up the phone and calling the Chief Executive Angel at Office Angels, S.E. Escobedo, 770-442-9246. What happens when you call Essie is you explain the problem you've got, and she's got a whole team of angels who fly in, get the job done, and fly out on an ongoing or as-needed basis, and they're not a temp agency or placement firm. They've got folks that work as needed, and they've been doing this for 20 years, and so they know what they're doing, and they've been doing it virtually for all that time. So a pandemic environment does not scare them by any means. So give her a call, 770-442-9246, or go to officeangels.us for more information. And as we wrap up here, folks, just we're celebrating the fact that we've gone over 300 episodes of this show. North Fulton Business Radio is the search term on your favorite app. We would love it if you would go find the show, give us a great review, 5 stars, because it's not about us. It's about promoting the great work of business leaders like Don and the other folks that we've had on the show over the years. So we'd appreciate it if you could do that for us and also connect with us on social media, on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We're at North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Don Kirk, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.